All right, guys, we are 6 days away. Count it, 6 days until President Donald Trump is inaugurated as the next president of the United States. And with that, all agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, all federal officials, the police force, the National Guard, even the military is all on high alert. We're getting ready to share with you why that is. And today we want to talk about this today because for all of our prayer warriors and our intercessors out there that are listening, that are watching our program, that are regular viewers and listeners and partners, this is something that we want to relay. This is something we want to get out there because this is definitely a point of prayer that you need to incorporate into your time of prayer, because this is one of those dates that I am concerned about. I talked about this a while back. There was 3 dates, and this one, January 20th, is a big one. And we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about today. The Biden administration is reassuring all of you folks in California that it has been impacted by these historic wildfires, that your $750 check is on its way. So we got all this and more in today's quick podcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, again, it is Tuesday, January 14th, and we are a little under a week away now until the official inauguration of the new president. He's not new as being president, but it is his second term and coming into office. Of course, we're talking about President Donald J. Trump. Now, with it, there is a lot of warnings coming out. In fact, they are now saying that they have roughly 25,000 police officers and nearly 8,000 soldiers will descend on Washington, D.C. on Monday. Let me pull this up. I want to read this to you. And this apparently, guys, I mean, they're pulling out all the resources for this. So something is definitely, we could say, is brewing. Here's an article from Yahoo News. Almost 25,000 police officers and 7,800 soldiers will again descend on Washington, D.C. for Donald Trump's inauguration on this coming Monday. And officials have confirmed this as the Capitol prepares for a, quote, peaceful transfer of power. 2 FBI field offices, a fleet of drones, and more than 30 miles of fencing will be used to keep Mr. Trump and other world leaders and attendees safe as he takes the presidential oath at office for the second time. Now, keep in mind, I want to remind our audience, this all comes in light of the whole drone mystery that has seemed to have fizzled out. It's remarkable, isn't it? This was the front line. This was the front news. It made headline news, front page. It was on the lips of all the podcasters, all the bloggers, every website, every YouTube channel, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all over the place. Nonstop feeds of drones everywhere, East Coast, West Coast, down in Florida, across the pond, if you would. It was everywhere. And then as quickly as it came, and it was just a frenzy of this stuff, it just poof, went away. And then all of our attention turned to New Orleans, Bourbon Street, to Las Vegas, Nevada, the situation that took place on New Year's Day. And then everything and all that just kind of faded away. But I am not one to quickly forget something like this. And I want to remind all of our audience that there was a purpose and there was a reason for those drones. You better not sweep this under the rug and forget it. There was a reason for this. And this is why there's a point of prayer for this, guys, because I don't think this is going away and per se, as far as there's going to be an end game for that. We may not see it today or tomorrow, and God forbid we see something on January 20th, but down the road, we're going to find out there was a reason and a purpose and an intent for this drone invasion that we witnessed. Local and federal officials revealed the security plans for the ceremony on Monday and said that despite receiving no specific threats against the president-elect, they are, quote, prepared for the worst. The inauguration security team will include 25,000 police officers and members of the National Guard from every state. They will run checkpoints to enter the National Mall in front of the U.S. Capitol. The government has also imposed a temporary flight restriction over Washington on Monday, and federal officials will fly drones to monitor the security situation from the sky. Hundreds of thousands of visitors are expected to travel to the Capitol and have been told to expect airport-type security to enter a secure zone covering... Hundreds of thousands of visitors are expected to travel the Capitol and have been told to expect airport-style security to enter a security zone covering much of the city. Laptops, water bottles, selfie sticks, and banners have all been banned from the grounds of the ceremony by the Capitol Police. Now, this also comes as a new fresh warning, guys, has come from the FBI and the DHS, who are warning possible copycat attacks after the New Orleans, Louisiana incident that took place on New Year's Day. I want to read a little bit of this. The FBI and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security warn law enforcement agencies across the country of possible copycat attacks following the inspired attack on New Year's Day in New Orleans that resulted in 14 deaths and injuries of dozens. The two federal agencies issued a public service announcement highlighting the potential public safety threat to about 18,000 law enforcement agencies across the United States. The agencies included local police and sheriff's departments and warned those who wear the uniform to be hyper-vigilant of copycat attacks after the New Orleans attacks. I'm going to read this statement. The FBI and the DHS are concerned about possible copycat or retaliatory attacks due to the persistent appeal of vehicle ramming as a tactic to expiring attackers, the PSA read. Previous attackers inspired by foreign organizations who have conducted vehicle attacks in the U.S. and abroad have used rented, stolen, and personally owned vehicles, which are easy to acquire. The PSA also noted that some of the attackers have used additional weapons, such as firearms, knives, to attack individuals once the vehicle stops. Others have attempted to conceal and pre-position improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, to supplement a vehicle attack. So guys, remember, these are all points of prayer that we need to keep in mind. So if you're watching, you're listening, you know you're on the prayer team at your church, maybe you're an intercessor, you've been called as an intercessor, or even in your own just the average Christian believer in your prayer time, pray about this stuff. This is important. Ask that the Holy Spirit will reveal and make and expose and make manifest the plots, plans, schemes, and the assignments of wicked men and organizations and attacks from within and from without. I'm telling you, God can expose this stuff and bring this to light and make it manifest to authorities. So that's how we need to be praying about this stuff. All right, this is another report that goes right along with this. Lone actors are the greatest safety threat during Trump's inauguration. In this report, the U.S. Capitol Police Chief J. Thomas Menger referenced two incidents last week on Capitol Hill where people sought to, quote, disrupt congressional proceedings with potentially tactics. An estimated 250,000 ticketed guests will attend the formal inauguration on January 20th, according to law enforcement. And again, and so they reiterate here the mass amount of security that they're bringing to this. Again, 25,000 law enforcement, 8,000 military officers. They're bringing in the National Guard from every state. bringing us in. So there is a high alert for lone wolf attacks. There's high alerts for copycats, for individuals using vehicles as a means of a weapon. So this is all stuff that they're on high alert about, again, this coming Monday on January 20th for the inauguration. Now, guys, I want to shift gears a little bit for the next few moments. Let's talk about Los Angeles. Let's talk about the wildfires there. This situation is it could be going from bad to worse. According to the latest report, the Santa Ana winds are back again. They're picking up. They're talking about 70, 80 mile an hour winds. This could spark new fires across the region. Again, anger is rising. Tempers are flaring. The blame game is all over the place. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry, because our current commander-in-chief, I'm going to show you what he said here. Quote, Biden says that the federal government will cover 100% of fire response cost in Southern California. Now, this may not anger you, but I'm going to be honest with you. This kind of infuriates me. Biden says, don't worry, guys. Keep in mind who a lot of the class of people who live in that area. We're talking about Los Angeles, Hollywood region area. We're talking about multi-million dollar people, Hollywood celebrities that live there, multi-millionaires. And he says, the federal government's got your back. We're going to cover 100% of the cost of all the fires. Where were you at when a disaster struck the Appalachians? When Helene ripped through Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, decimated them, leaving these people literally homeless. As of the recording of this today, there are still people with no homes. They're sleeping in tents. Some of them people have died from hypothermia. I know the news don't talk about that. And you were nowhere to be found. This administration was nowhere to be found. Not one day, 2 days, three. We're talking about days after the event took place. Silence. Nothing. FEMA, where were you at? All of your corruption was exposed, made manifest to the public. It's all been out there. You got caught. You're busted. You're done. You're fired. You're out of here. Locals stepped in. People from outside of the Appalachians that lived in other states, they came in. They contributed. They took their own finances. They took their own assets. They took their own resources and helped. Nonprofit organizations stepped up. Samaritan's Purse stepped up. All these other Mercury One stepped up. All these other these organizations stepped up and did the job of the federal government. The churches stepped in. They helped. And then you told them, oh, we got you. We're going to mail you a $750 check. We're going to send it to you. But isn't it ironic that Biden wants everybody to know in LA, and he wants the world to know that, hey, the feds have got you 100% covered in Southern California. Let's see what he says here. President Biden announced Thursday that for the next 6 months, the federal government will pay for 100% of the disaster response costs from the wildfires destroying neighborhoods across the greater Los Angeles area. The president also said he'll be asking Congress for, quote, more funding to help. Wait a minute. Weren't we told that FEMA was dry? They were dried up. There was no resources left. Remember, that's what they told the folks in the Appalachians. It's almost like they were aggravated. They were mad. They were irritated that disaster happened and it drained all their resources. And they came out and said, look, we don't have any more money. We're done. We don't have enough. If we have another disaster, then we just don't have the funds. We don't have anything. But isn't it ironic, but they do have the funds to allocate to Ukraine. They do have the funds to allocate to overseas locations in the Middle East. They apparently somehow they scraped it up and said that now they're going to cover 100% of the disaster in the Los Angeles area. Where there's now I'm not saying everybody's a multimillionaire in Los Angeles, but there was a lot of Hollywood celebrities, people of influence, a lot of friends of the Biden administration. Howbeit, even Kamala Harris, her home was threatened by this fire. So it's in that region. So the president is saying that he's going to be asking Congress for more funding to help. Speaking from the White House during a briefing on the fires, the president said federal funding will cover things like removing debris, setting up temporary shelters, and paying first responders. Again, where was this at in Helene? I didn't see it. I didn't see this in Appalachians. The removal of the debris, setting up temporary shelters, and all this stuff, and they didn't pay first responders from what I understand. People came in and rolled up their sleeves and helped each other. Mr. Biden said he's surging all federal resources possible to Southern California, including 400 federal firefighters and 30 federal firefighting planes, among other assets. Quote, I told the governor and local officials, spare no expense. Spare no expense for LA, but for the Appalachians, sorry guys, but you know, we're all dried up here. There's nothing more we can do about this. He called the damage, quote, catastrophic. Well, what do you call the damage? Was you watching the same thing I was watching in the Appalachians? The damage from these fires is expected to be the one of the most expensive disasters in California history. Guys, look, I'm going to get biblical here with you real quick. I told you before, when you have a disaster that makes national headlines like this and it's historic, you better be paying attention. You better be paying attention. I'm telling you, I am not backing down from my statement, and I still 100% believe that, number one, if God is in control, and he is, and he allowed this to happen, and he did, then you have to ask yourself, is this a form of judgment from God? And it's still not over. As of the recording of this, it's going to get worse if these winds pick up and these fires spread. Again, three fires are still raging. And the president said, and 179,000 people have been forced to evacuate their homes. Congress may need to pass supplemental funding to buoy rebuilding efforts, and the president urged Congress to, quote, step up. Now, look, here, you want to know why? Look at this. Vice President Kamala Harris, whose neighborhood in Southern California was evacuated, called the damage apocalyptic. No one was at her home when the neighborhood was evacuated, her press secretary said. We are, quote, we're literally waiting to see which way the wind blows. Interesting statement here. Again, officially 1,300 structures have been burned. I saw a report that said way more than that. I saw upwards of 12,000 structures burned. So I think that's grossly underestimated there. And 60,000 structures threatened. And even historical structures, guys, have been completely wiped out. All right, here's more of the same rhetoric from Biden. Listen to this. Again, a slap in the face. Quote, we are not waiting until the fires are over to help victims. We are helping them all right now. People impacted by these fires are going to receive a one-time payment of $770. Whoa, $770. Wow, don't break the bank there, Biden. And keep in mind, this is in California. Now, look, I don't know what $770 will do. Now, let me go back to this article first. I want to read what he said, then I'm going to elaborate here. Biden said that, quote, this $770 can quickly purchase things like water, baby formula, and prescriptions. Again, listen, I live in Georgia. And when I go to the grocery store, I can fill a half a cart up and it's almost $150, $200. I just don't see $770 stretching very far in California. Have you, Do you know somebody that lives in California? Do you live in California? You already know that the cost of food out there, the cost of living out there is much higher than a lot of places in the United States of America, except howbeit New York or New Jersey, anywhere like that. But California is one of the most expensive places to live. But hey, Biden's got your back. $770 is coming to you. They're mailing it out. Oh, what was that? Oh, your mailbox got burned down. Well, I guess we'll have to just keep trying to send it to you. We'll get it to you somehow. All right, now I want to take you to the third and final section of our podcast today, this segment. So we've talked about the inauguration coming up, the heightened security, the heightened alert, the vulnerability, the risk of all this and what they're saying and what they're preparing for and why we need to pray about that. Then we talked about the absolute ridiculous circus show going on with these government agencies. And listen, guys, I could have spent another 30 minutes talking about all the backlash from why were they running out of water? Why were the reserves running dry? The ridiculous statements by Gavin Newsom, but I don't want to get in all that stuff. That stuff bores me. Sorry, but it does, because it's political jargon and rhetoric. And I'll let other people talk about that, but I'm not going to talk about that. I just get to the main points of this, and then I move on. Okay, now, when President Trump is officially sworn into office and becomes the official president of the United States, guys, he's got his hands full. Now, we've told you, I guess I'm going to bring this up, because this is something we need to be paying attention to. There is, we did a podcast on this. I want to encourage you to go back and watch it on our archives. It's on YouTube. You can go back and look at it. We talked about there are three blood moons coming in 2025. One of them is coming. The first one that's going to be coming is during Purim. Now, this is in March, okay, during the Feast of Purim. Now, keep in mind, Purim is a day, it's a commemoration of when Queen Esther was led by God to call a 72-hour complete fast, no water, no food. And it was literally for the survival of the Jewish people. Haman, who was a leader of the Persian Empire, today they would be Iran, was threatening to annihilate Esther and her people. So she led a corporate time of prayer and fasting. Again, 72 hours, no food, no water. And God honored this fast and reverse the plot of the enemy and turn the tide, and it literally saved the entire Jewish nation from annihilation from the hands of Persia or Iran. Now, here we are. We come to the month of March coming up, which is, you can mark this. Go ahead and mark it down in your calendar. March 13th, the evening of March 13th to March 14th. Again, this is Thursday, March 13th, all the way to Friday, March 14th. That 24-hour period, this is Purim. On that day that Purim's happening, that we commemorate this on the Jewish calendar, there's going to be a blood moon appearing. Now watch this, not over Israel, but over the United States of America. Now, based on that, it is of my opinion that we could have trouble brewing with this current administration, not this current administration, the Biden administration, but the upcoming one, the Trump administration. On Trump's watch, watch for this. Watch somehow, some way, there's going to be some type of involvement. Now, I don't know what this looks like. It could be some type of a peace negotiation in the Middle East with Israel and the Palestinians, the whole Gaza Strip thing, the Hezbollah thing, the Lebanon thing. Remember, they're at war with in seven fronts there. You've got the whole Syrian crisis. Syria's been taken over by all these rebels. Erdogan is involved. Turkey's involved. They're threatening Israel. So Trump could have his hands in the middle of that. And also Iran. That's the big one, guys. Iran is, again, not backing down from pursuing their nuclear program. Now, many analysts, experts, pundits have all speculated and wondered how will Trump handle this? So this is what's got me paying attention to this, because the fact that you've got a blood moon, which again, rabbis, historians have always connected these blood moons to world events. They're harbingers of upheaval, major transitions, wars, and you have a blood moon appearing over the United States of America on Purim, which involved Persia and Israel. And here you'll have the Trump administration into office. So again, I'm telling you, watch for something in the Middle East involving Iran, Israel, and America. So we need to keep our eyes on this, because this is very important. Now, what's also interesting, and I thought this wasn't pretty intriguing, because nobody, I didn't even know about this until I saw it at the last minute. But apparently, we're talking about signs in the heavens, right? Check out what just went over our heads. Now, again, this was published on yesterday, January 13th. This has been published on January 14th. This event happened on January 13th. Look at this. A once-in-a-lifetime comet will become visible for the first time in 160,000 years. Now, again, guys, don't lose it over the years. Because I get it. Some people, well, if we've only been here 6,000 years, whatever. Let's just roll with this, okay? Let's just call it a once-in-a-lifetime comet. How many has this been, guys, in the past 12 months? How many of these once-in-a-lifetime comets are we going to see in a lifetime? I mean, isn't this this is kind of the thing now, isn't it? Once-in-a-lifetime flood, but it happens six times in a year. Once-in-a-lifetime wildfire that happens three times in a year. Once in a lifetime disaster, whatever that looks like. Cold front, Arctic blast, polar vortex. Once in a lifetime snowfall. Once in a lifetime ice storm. Once in a lifetime volcanic eruption. Yet these are, why are these becoming more frequent? Why are these happening so many times that it's losing its luster to even say once in a lifetime, because this is happening multiple times in a lifetime? We're seeing these events happen multiple times in a year on a 12-month calendar, let alone once in a lifetime. Now, guys, we have an answer for that. If you're paying attention, it's the birth pangs of the Messiah that's increasing. We were told this was going to happen. Romans 8 says that the whole earth travails and groans. Jesus said in Matthew 24, all these signs will come, and it'll be like sorrows or birth pangs. They'll increase, they'll intensify. Because why? Because there has to be the breaking of the water, and then there has to be the birthing, or we call it the redemption. The Messiah is going to return. Let me get back to this. I know we're all over the place. We've got like three topics today that we're covering today. And by the way, guys, if you've not hit that like button, we'd love for you to help us out. Hit that like button. Help us share this content out there on YouTube, Rumble. And we're going to, here in a few minutes, we'll tell you how you can not miss anything. We hope we have some new, we always love new viewers and new subscribers and new listeners by Apple or by Spotify. All right, listen to this. If you're a fan of skygazing, make sure you have your eyes to the skies this evening. Again, this was last night, so this is come and gone. I didn't know about this, or I would have reported this before. A once-in-a-lifetime comet is set to be visible for the first time in, again, quote, 160,000 years. The comet was called Atlas. Interesting. Was discovered by the Atlas Survey System and has been slowly approaching the inner solar system. Current calculations indicate that it will make its closest approach. This is now past tense, so it made its closest approach to the sun at a distance of about 8.3 million miles. While that might sound far away, it actually relatively close, with astronomers dubbing the comet a, quote, sun skirter. And again, I got to throw this out again, guys. According to the ancients, the historians, ancient rabbis, because a lot of this has been lost in transition because, again, churches don't teach on this. You start talking about signs in the heavens and stuff, and they want to equate you with astrology. It's ridiculous. And that's just absolutely not true. And guys, I can destroy that whole thought process by taking you to the Bible. Where do you want to start? The birth of Jesus? There was wise men that they saw the star in heaven. Obviously, they understood this. We want to talk about Joseph? Where do you want? Did you know that there was a comet that was visible over the skies of when Noah was building the ark? And it made its trajectory around, and it was seen in our lifetime. I mean, we go on and on and on and talk about this. Even in Jesus' day, he talks about that there was a group of men who had understanding of the times and seasons. They could discern these heavenly bodies and heavenly signs that were taking place. Luke 21, there will be great and fearful sights from heaven. So listen, comets were often linked to, again, upheavals, wars, natural disasters, the death and the rise and fall of rulers. All of this stuff is there. It's there. You just got to research it. Do your diligent research. I'm telling you guys, why am I telling you this? Why are we talking about this? Because here we have, we're about to transition. We had all of these harbingers, and we get the flack for it. When we talk about the solar eclipses and the blood moons, and inevitably people get on the keyboard and, well, I don't know why you guys keep talking about this. Nothing ever happens. And I'm like, are you absolutely, have you lost your mind? That sand that you've got your head buried in must be nice and warm in there. Nothing has happened. Again, look at October 7th. Look at the Middle East. The Middle East has been a ball of fire most of 2024. With Israel and the war of seven fronts, you've got now Syria's been taken over by rebels. You've got Turkey that's getting involved. You've got Europe and an ongoing war that's lasted literally years. You've got the threat of nuclear war. You've got North Korea that's emerging with Russia. You've got Iran that's emerging with Russia, and you've got Turkey making a pact with Iran. You've had, okay, we talk about, and there's been, I think there was at least three comets that were, quote, once in a lifetime celestial events that took place last year in the calendar year of 2024. We also had the Great American Solar Eclipse that formed the X. And since that time, look at it on 2024, in that 12-month period from the time those solar eclipses and those comets came around, in that 12-month mark, we have had unprecedented historic disasters that has struck the West Coast, that has impacted the East Coast, or excuse me, that's impacted the South and the Midwest. We've had historic flooding. We've had historic fires. I don't know what else to bring to the table, guys, to prove to you. And I'm trying to tell you, for everybody that thought that here comes Trump, the new sheriff's in town, it's going to be great. It's going to be happy days again. It's going to be peace and safety. Friend, wake up. Again, we're 14 days. We are officially 2 weeks into the new year. And all hell's breaking loose. And you think it's going to be lollipops and tulips and happy days are back again because Trump's back. No. And again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I'm telling you, I don't know what God has in store for this man. But I can tell you this, that there is major spiritual warfare over this man being in office of the President of the United States of America. And I can prove that just from all the threats that's been assessed against this man and attempts against this man. There is major spiritual warfare. Come on, guys, open your eyes. You can see that. And we could speculate on him being a threat to the deep state, him being a threat to this organization, or him being a threat to this and this and that. Those are all natural factors, but I'm telling you, there is a deeper layer to this. I talked about this last night. When that veil is lifted off your eyes and you are born again, you'll know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're dealing with spiritual principalities and powers at work here. The bottom line is this, friend. The clock is ticking. The little sands in the hourglass are getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and they're running out, and time is almost out. We're in the 11th hour, if you would. We're at 11:59 and 30 seconds. And Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Again, guys, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Again, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, guys, do me a favor. If you've not downloaded our free app, this is how you're going to keep up with all of our headlines. Pick it up today. Apple, Android, whatever you have, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. You're going to have everything right there at your fingertips. You won't miss a single program. It'll be right there for your convenience. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, as always, guys, we want to give an opportunity to partner with us, and you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through a whole plethora of different ways, again, through the app, through different electronic transactions there, through major credit card, PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. It's all over the place. Right there on YouTube, there's a support tab that's pinned at the top. You can click on there and you could do that as well. Or you can give by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Listen, guys, real quick, I got some announcements. So again, today is Tuesday, January 14th. We'll probably be on here tomorrow. We typically take Wednesdays off, but we'll be here tomorrow. And the reason why is because we're going to be here tomorrow and Thursday, but I will be off. We will not be broadcasting Friday, Saturday, or Sunday this week, because my birthday is going to be on Friday, and my wife and kids have plans for me. I don't know what we're doing. I know that we're going out of town, so that's all I know. And I was told by my wife, do not make any podcast on Friday or Saturday, or plan on it, because we won't be here. And I'm like, okay, so that's what we're going to do. So we are instead, again, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll be back on Thursday. And we may do multiple podcasts. We may do some short video, 15-minute videos, one here, and then a larger one for the 8 o'clock hour, or whatever the case may be. So keep an eye out for those. Nevertheless, we plan on being right back here with you guys, enjoying company with you. And we appreciate you guys. We love you. We had a great time last night on our prayer segment. And if you don't come here on Monday nights at 8 p.m., you're missing out. We do a devotional together, and then we pray specific for people. When they put in their prayer request, we pull them up on the screen, we pray for them, and we all come into agreement with those prayer requests and with your prayer request as well. So if you've not come over here from Rumble or Instagram or X or Facebook or wherever you follow us from, you need to come over here and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can be a part of these program of these Monday night prayer meetings as well. So listen, we're going to sign out tonight, and we will see you guys on the next one tomorrow. We love you. We appreciate you. May the Lord's blessings be upon you. May his countenance shine upon you. May his angels protect you in your coming in and your coming out forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.